on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see your eyes."
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben. 81.50, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along on a somewhat version of Throwback Thursday. Bold Zach Smith joining me. Steve Brummage joining me. Brian Hall in the booth. Fellas, very spirited.
It's a total throwback. I did the 3-6 alone last night. This is a throwback.
This is our throwback. No,
I'm kidding. This is home for me.
I didn't mean your throwback version. It was the Bozak version of the throwback.
Yeah, that makes sense, too.
You see how arrogant we all get here in a second? You blink and we all start getting so self-important.
Well, when you guys picked your intro songs, this was Bozak's choice. I figured, you know, beginning 11 o'clock hour, I'd play his intro song.
No, the irony is we knew exactly why you were playing it. Bozak is like, "Whoa, what's that? What's that going on over there?" But it took him about two guitar strums later. You knew exactly what he was doing, Bo?
Yeah, I had to figure it out at first.
So listen, we were moving along with the LeVar Ball conversation. Now we have to be adults, at least for a second. People.
Well, let's give him some more free press. Come on, man.
That's a great point. Like, how dare we cost LeVar Ball some free press? But people, it is my obligation sometimes to get a little more serious. And I wouldn't bring it up. Steve, help me transition into the subject while I bring up the story that is John Schnatter.
Well, it's back. Papa John's back, man.
It's back.
I mean, you know, you hoped it was done, but you knew that there were going to be, when this happened a few weeks ago, you knew that there were going to be layers. Papa John did doesn't just, in the board meeting where he called out the Athletics.
Kind of like LeVar Ball.
Yeah, that just don't happen.
Right.
Okay, you knew, and we knew when that happened that there was going to be more layers to that, and I feel like another layer.
It was frustrating because we didn't know what was going on.
Absolutely, but now, today, I think we get another layer to the story.
So, people, I will try to live filter through the story that is breaking. The by Kate Howard, and give credit, I don't know the publication, but Kate Howard is the author of the story. There's more to the Papa John's U of L story. John Schnatter publicly criticized the leadership that happened, you know, a while ago. We knew. So here's where it gets important, people. It gets a little bit juicy. Last year, Schnatter quietly pulled $1.5 million from a longstanding pledge to the Athletic Association for the expansion of the namesake Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Schnatter chose instead to earmark the money for academics, according to a March 2016 agreement signed by Schnatter and former University of President James Ramsey. The athletic department banked on the money to help fund the now completed $72 million renovation that added 13,000 seats to the stadium, but apparently nobody told athletics that $1.5 million was missing. Now, Bo, when you agreed to come on to the show, I never know your sarcasm. You have a interesting sense of humor, which makes you great for the radio.
That's because I'm interesting looking.
But listen, you literally go under the interesting man of the year. Please. Category every time. But I wanted to make sure you were caught up on a bit of the story. There was a little tiff between Papa John's and the university. He basically was on a board where he said, he didn't think he was getting enough answers from Tom Jurich, you know, the athletic side of the finances, right?
Correct.
Fast forward, story comes out that money was moved, that money that he had, you know, sponsored. Well, you heard me. I mean, you get the point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, money got moved around. So now you're getting the aha. what's going on now? So did you get, let me just ask you this, Steve, did you get more questions out of this statement or more answers knowing that Papa John's pulled $1.5 million out of the athletic, basically out of the athletic budget, sworn towards the athletic budget and turned into the academics? Do you have more questions now or do you have more answers for why he spat off the way he did, you know?
More questions, man. I'm gonna go Matrix on you. Now I'm really curious how deep the rabbit hole goes here. Because now you go, okay, a year ago, he pulled away $1.5 million. So how long? Because I thought, I'll just be honest, I thought this was something somebody told him, said, look, it's a good idea to do this. Somebody set him up. He went in there, popped off at the mouth in a meeting. You know, okay, yeah. Well, your credibility's hurt now, different things. But if you hear that over a year ago, you go, okay, what's kind of the deal here? How long has this been in the works?
Okay, so you're asking, I need you to be Louisville fan thinker, because of course, when I see the story, first thing I ask you, because I'm on air as the story was kind of coming out, I'm asking you, okay, so Louisville fan, Marcus Maben, alumni university. Okay, so, and this is not alumni, academic alumni guy. This is former basketball player guy says, okay, does it look like something shady's going on? Is this a illegal move? It is a Ramsey Schneider cahoots deal?
Yeah.
Like who's winning in this? And most importantly, tell me how this is going to hurt the athletic department.
Well, I'll say this: it's apparent, and I don't know who it is. I don't know where if it's John Schneider or who you point the finger at, but I think it's becoming apparent that the university athletics has an enemy somewhere.
You mean in-house or out?
Somewhere. I'm not saying in-house, out of house, but somewhere. There's somewhere where this is coming from. And I think it's imperative that's found out sooner than later. I mean, because you start to go, okay, $1.5 million is a lot of money. And U of L will do fine. They'll replace it. They'll do what they have to do.
The one thing we know and the one thing that we enjoy is to say, if say what you want about Tom Jurich, Bozak, you're complimenting the studio that we're now in, saying, how long has this been here? You have not been on this in this entire area. So we're able to say to you, yeah, this is a lot of Tom Jurich doing right here, you know? So the idea that this is your one time, you get to say, the one problem they're not going to have is replacing that money.
Yeah, no.
Even though it's a lot of money, and the fact that I don't know about it is worse than the fact that it's gone.
Yeah, but I think that as layers start to come off, I think you're going to start to see a little bit more of the story, you know, and get kind of just how I mean, is this a diabolical thing? I mean, like how deep does this go? Because I know there's some things that has happened in the last 2 years that I start to go, okay, where was that uncovered?
So that's your biggest fear, is that you have someone plotting against the university in a long range scheme?
Yeah. Yes, it does. When you start to, when this comes out now on top of just the meeting, yeah, it does. It makes me wonder. And I don't like that. I don't like that. That's not a good scenario in a city that's not. Louisville is a small, big city.
Right.
Okay. And I don't, I'm not, I joke around all the time. I say, you know, because I live in Shepherdsville.
Right.
I say, man, I don't like small towns. You know, if something shady happens, me and my mom were talking the other day. I said, well, you know, I mean, there has been a few things. I said, you know, so I don't want to get on there and try to say, well, I'm going to be the guy to uncover it.
Yes.
Because, and the reason why people won't is because you go, well, now you're a target.
Right.
And in small towns, things get covered up, listen, you know.
The KHSAA is already on you, Steve.
Well, that's fine. And I'll take that fight all day. So.
Big boy, Steve.
Yeah, no,
now,
absolutely.
See, you see what you people turn my man Steve Rubbage into?
Yeah.
He's ready to take on high school sports.
Do you know, I have people, let me tell you this. I have people in the fifth region baseball calling me now going, hey, I heard what you said. Hey, there's some shady stuff happening down here. So, like, I'm getting phone calls from people. I'm going, you're the coach. Where do you coach? Oh, okay.
So Steve is now the Jesse Jackson of KHSAA.
That's great. I've always seen myself as a Jesse Jackson.
The Al Sharpton. Yeah, I got some problems, Steve.
I've really seen myself as that. That's a great comparison.
No, I thought so when I thought about that, Steve. But Bo, at first glance,
I'm a Donald Trump. I'm a Donald Trump.
I cannot make you just Donald Trump just yet.
93.9.
But give it some. Oh, that's nice. That is a strong one. But Bo, at first glance, I know you like I said, I know you haven't been as consumed by this as us. But
correct.
What does it give you at first impression?
Oh, man. I mean,
is it just business to you?
Yeah, it could be. I think there's obviously a problem between Papa John's and the athletic department. We don't know what that is.
Kenny Klein just released a statement and said, you know, this is it's nothing to see here. Kind of. I mean, not nothing.
Well, what
to see
are you
here.
Gonna say?
Yeah, I know that's what I'm saying. But you know, Kenny Klein is he?
And it's not like he pulled this money and he put it in his pocket. Look, he put it right back in the education at the University of Louisville. That's a pretty noble thing to do with your money.
So you're gonna say noble and businessman in the same context?
Yeah,
I can be cynic
somewhat,
guy.
Because
and
why are we here? Are we here to play basketball? Are we here to get education? And basketball and
you're gonna take that fight, bro?
I'm just saying basketball and other athletics have provided a lot of people many educations.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And not just scholarship people.
That's right. And so it gives a lot of people opportunity in life, not only in education.
Right.
So when anybody puts money into an education system, it's a great thing.
So, okay, so yeah. So basically, in macro perspective, you can just say, listen, Schnatter, maybe he just thought too much focus was being done on athletics, and I'd prefer maybe my money be spent more in academics.
Has athletics been profitable for U of L? Are they going to miss that 1.5? I'm sure they want as much as they can get, but I'm just saying.
Right. It doesn't give you immediate pause to dig into your pocket and donate to the university more than you've been donating, you know, already, you know. You got to pay for those.
Whether you like the guy or not, he's done a wonderful job investing back into the University of Louisville.
Right.
Yeah, no, and I don't think you can disagree with that. My problem here, my worry goes, is there ulterior to that?
Yes.
Is it more than
not to
than,
know it up front is more of a
yeah, and is it more of a monetary thing? Or is there something deeper? Because if it's just monetary and you just want to spend your money elsewhere, then I mean, that's your money, man.
No, it's your money. And monetary, monetarily, like, he's also trying to save people money. Like, he offered the people, the listeners of Midday with Marcus Maben, a promo code
that's
of just Maben5. So
true.
You can go to papajohns.com and you can enter promo code Maben5 and you can get 3 medium one topping
pizzas.
That's
a great time to slide that in.
Good plug.
See,
we know what side of the fence Marcus is going to be on.
Hey, we're working over here, people. What do you mean? You
know, sorry.
So now,
sorry, Brian. Don't send that read off.
So now we can go to papajohns.com, enter promo code MAVEN5, 3 medium toppings, one topping, $5.55 a piece. Go figure. So you can slide some of your money from your dinner account that was going to go to some, you know, expensive crap.
Yeah, eat it angry.
And send it to papajohns.com and promo code MAVEN5.
Just eat angry. Just violently eat your pizza. I'm all right with that.
Is that you?
People are important, so don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
So threat level, fear factor, none.
No, I don't want to say none. I mean, no, I think there is. No, not even close to none. I think it's heightened.
Okay, so Steve, are you thinking more conspiracy theory than anything else? Now, I'm not going to ask you to give a conspiracy theory or anything. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People listening, does it make you feel like this is an emergency situation? Does it make you feel like Schnatter, you know, is not, you know, as loyal to the university? Because, you know, we know his relationship with the University of Louisville through sports. But that does not mean he cannot expand and be more of a part of the university than he planned to be before. Maybe we were unfair to him in the beginning saying, hey, you donate. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. Hey, Papa John, and of course I didn't say it like that, but for context of this conversation, I was Papa John's. You helped pay for the stadium. Stay in your lane, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew that was unfair towards him, and just saying, "Oh, you're just a money guy. Get out of here." You know, like I knew when I was saying it that I didn't explain it clear, but there's a conspiracy theory element, or you can just say, "Listen, he's growing too. He's growing outside of just football stadium guy."
Well, to me though, if you say, "Well, I'm pulling all this money out. I'm going. You know, I'm putting it in academics. I'm doing this."
Should he have made an announcement?
Well, no. I think to me, unless you have a behind the scenes political aspect to this,
no. But
I think is
what wouldn't have, and I'm being devil's advocate. Wouldn't that have looked more political if he told everybody, hey, I'm pulling money out of the athletic department and putting it to academics? Doesn't that look like more of a political move than anything?
Well, not if it's a year or so setup. I mean, not if it's I'm doing this now because I know there's going to be a shock for this here, so I'm going to do this now. I'm going to get by for the year. Then I'm going to throw this out here in a meeting and say, here we go.
See, and you know what? I think
I'd be interested to see if he pulled that money before or after the new board was appointed.
And we're talking about a year ago. Think about it. We're talking scandal.
I know. That's what I was saying earlier where I said there's a lot of things going on that makes you go, okay, well, now let's – we'll see.
Scandal, sanctions, pulling my money. Yeah. That could have easily been a this whole story goes away if you think he was embarrassed by the Katina Powell and put his money in academics.
Yeah.
This whole conversation goes away. Kind of.
Yeah.
We tagging on to these conspiracy things. You think that the Lakers are going to draft Lonzo Ball? Do you think they got the number two pick as a conspiracy theory, Steve? Be honest.
No. Maybe. I don't know.
I warned both of you. I know I did not warn you. I warned Bo that I was going to have to get some clear answers on this. When we're talking conspiracy theories, and this Papa John's conversation was a natural lightening of the mood of conspiracy theory. So Lakers get the number two pick. Lonzo Ball's number two. He's let it be known from day one that he's only playing for the Lakers, right? If the Lakers didn't get the top three picks, they were gonna like lose their draft pick or something, right? Everybody loves the Lakers and needs the Lakers on point. Bo Zach Smith. Now you can get cynical. The last time I talked to you, the Cubs had a shot at winning
sure the did.
World Series. That was the last. That was no, not last time I talked to you. Last time we were hanging out.
Yeah.
The Cubs, how did that turn out for you, first and foremost?
Oh, it was great, man. I'm an Illinois boy, so.
You said Illinois, so just true Illinois fashion and form. How was it? Like, just a quick, give me just a little bit of that emotion for you, because this meant something to you a little
bit. Oh, yeah, like I admit, for any Cubby fan, it meant something. What was it, 108?
Yeah, but you got the Johnny Come Latelys that jumped in.
Yeah. But I've got, you know, I got to sit around my family, watch my grandfather watch the Cub games. You know, in the 80s, they had a couple of good teams, and boy, we our hopes were up high. So to actually see him
so
come
you
through,
had your heart ripped out of your chest.
Oh, by far, yes. By far.
But
yes.
Okay, so that turned out good, generally. Now getting to the conspiracy, you know, element of this. Like, do you believe, I'll ask this first question before I ask any difficult personal Bozak questions about your belief in conspiracy theories. Now, Lonzo Ball number two, Lakers number two pick. Lakers would have lost their pick had they fell below three. Do you believe in any of this stuff? That fixing, that the draft order, that any of those kind of things, Bo?
No.
Really?
I really don't, man.
You don't trust people to keep secrets. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to keep a secret, to be honest with you.
It's impossible to keep a secret. Yeah, so you don't think that any of these draft orders have ever been massaged?
Oh, I'm sure there has been.
But you're saying isolated.
Yeah.
Okay, give me one Bozak Smith. You, to everybody, they say it's a conspiracy theory. And Bozak says it's not conspiracy. It's 100% truth. Just one of those that you just don't know.
Oh, my goodness. There could be so many of them, Marcus. I'm going to stay out of that one. That one could be dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want the men in black showing up on you. I mean, no, I get that. I get that.
I'll say it. My Bulls are supposed to get the last pick in the lottery. Derrick Rose, the Bulls had been down. Derrick Rose is a Chicago kid. The Bulls got the number one pick in the draft.
Rick Pitino.
That's a lot.
Chicago getting Derrick Rose, number one pick in the draft. You guarantee that was set up.
Yeah, it's odd.
Rick Pitino does not get Tim Duncan when he was with Boston.
Yeah, because, I mean, that would have changed the game, man.
Was that massage? I mean,
thank God he didn't.
Was that massage conspiracy theory or not?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think so, because I think you want Boston
and
to be good.
You're saying this
the league's better when Boston and L.A. and Chicago and those teams are good.
You're saying this a little bit in jesty, but when you say Bulls, Derrick Rose, Chicago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You're saying 100% there was no random draft ping pong ball.
No, I don't think so. No, it's like when the NBA owned the Pelicans there for a while. Do you remember when all that happened and the NBA owned them? The NBA owned the Hornets and then they turned into the Pelicans. You know who got the number one pick when the NBA owned them? The Pelicans.
They were the sorriest team. They had the highest percentage.
Yeah, well, Phoenix was sorry, and they're picking fourth. So
they were the sorriest.
Yeah, they were pathetic.
Wait a minute.
Brooklyn was the worst.
Wait a minute. Phoenix. What's notable about Phoenix? What's notable about that?
All Kentucky guards.
Oh, where did that come from, Steve?
Throw that out there.
You were just waiting on that one. How many Kentucky?
By the way, Cal lost another recruit today. That made me smile.
Oh, Steve is digging deep today. Oh. Steve, what do you mean? I hadn't heard. Elaborate, please.
Yeah, the Bamba kid that they've been running their mouth about for the last 6 weeks.
Wait a minute. The guy that was on the article in the Courier Journal talking about Cal was insinuating that he might have the number one center.
Yeah. Well, he's going to Texas.
Oh,
so.
Steve, don't gloat.
Yeah, he's going to Texas.
Steve, don't gloat about that.
Hook him.
What's worse, Charlie Strong doing the hook 'em horns with the hat on or Steve Rummage?
Yeah.
On Midday with Marcus Maybe.
Get out of here, man.
Physically holding up the hook.
Diallo, take yourself to the draft. Diallo's going to the Lakers. Bamba's going to Texas. Hey, y'all got something coming to you.
Don't threaten people on my show.
Y'all got something coming to you.
Midday with Marcus Maybe. Quick commercial break. Petrino coming up on the other side of the break. 8150. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. My man, Steve Rummage, who will be on 93.9 from 3 to 6 a little later on this evening. Bozak Smith on the Throwback Thursday version. Of Midday with Marcus Maben is in the booth, but now, people, things just have a way of working themselves out. You know, you get the Lonzo Ball, the 2-2-2s, and then, of course, on the day where we have a very spirited conversation, today's the day we'll have to let you know about the women's clinic, the football clinic that is on fastly approaching. We have Katie Petrino, thank you for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maben. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
No, absolutely my pleasure. Now, before we get into the details of the coming events, why is this the first time you've joined me on my show?
I don't know. I would have loved to anytime.
Listen, I'm sure we're going to have opportunities to talk a lot of good sports, but kind of. Stick to the topic du jour, or let's approach the topic du jour, the women's football clinic, a very successful women's clinic, traditionally, I might add, in Kentucky. Tell us a little bit about what you're here to talk about.
Yes, so Louisville football will be hosting the Louisville Women's Clinic on Saturday, June the 3rd. And it's just a fun day for women to get out, and you get to see the facilities at Louisville. You'll get to see the new stadium expansion a little bit and the new academic center, and then you'll do drills and they'll be able to even catch punts and do tackling drills, learn how to throw a football, and then just some fun agility drills. And then also there's going to be like a coach's wives section where they get to talk to the coach's wives, which is really unique. So it's just a really fun day for women to kind of get a glimpse into the football world.
Now, this is obviously the women's clinic, but just to make a little more of a detailed question, who exactly is your target audience? Is it the fantasy football, participant? Is it the women who have zero experience in the football world? Like, a little more detail on, when you put this together, who were you targeting in particular?
Honestly, we are targeting anyone and everyone. So if you have zero football knowledge and you want to come in and just learn how you make a tackle or what a first down is, or the women that watch football every Saturday, they get to actually go through drills and see how a practice and what drills they do during practice for football players. So it's anyone that is just slightly interested in football, come out and enjoy the day, really.
Katie, this is Bozak here. I got a quick question for you. Is there an age group for this? I've got three daughters. 16 is the youngest, so I was wondering what kind of age group is normally there.
There is not an age group. It probably is 16 and up. Most of it is older women, I would say. I'm 25, and I'll be doing it. But so we do have some younger women, but it isn't teenagers. So it is probably 16 and up, and yeah. So.
Okay, great.
No, I was going to say we broke the cardinal, no pun intended, the cardinal rule of Midday with Marcus Maybe is to never say ages on the show. But but of course, I can make a little bit of an exception with this situation. So well, let me ask you this. What is the effort level? Like, you know, you have these events, these drills. I don't like the idea of sending my mom out there to get tackled or to be running 40 yard dashes. What is the level of conditioning or just kind of overall activity you might be expecting?
So honestly, there was some older women out there last year, and they make it kind of so even if you're older, you can participate in all the events. And then when you're tackling a dummy. And so there are certain things you can participate in, but they really do show the real drills that the guys do. So it is a little harder in that aspect that you get to see that, but you don't have to participate fully in it.
Okay, so you say some of the guys are out there actually participating. Now, are we talking about coaches working through the drills? Are we talking about player like, will I see, you know, Lamar Jackson teaching me to pass out there? Like, how involved are the players? And I'm sure that's something that's been easy to kind of sell to all the guys, because in my experience, everyone's usually more than, you know, willing to cooperate.
Yes, they always are. And it's actually going to be all the coaches putting it on, and there may be players in and out, but it's mainly the coaches and the coaches' wives putting this camp on.
Talking with Katie Petrino here on 93.9 The Ville. Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned the facilities earlier. Now, are we talking about when you say you'll be able to see some of the stadium expansion, like what is the extent to which people will be able to see the facilities and kind of go in and out of the basements and the locker rooms of all this area, this beautiful stadium?
Yes. So first of all, they're going to bring him through the Thornton's Academic Center of Excellence, and that is actually where the registration is held. And then they're going to go over and show him kind of the new expansion plans. And I don't know if you've been up to the stadium lately, but as you walk in, they have fences lined with exactly what they're going to do and pictures of the coming full circle. So it's really cool experience to see that part. And then on top of all this, there is also a silent auction which benefits the Petrino Family Foundation. And so it's just an awesome experience for women to be out there, play around, learn football, but then also give back too.
Okay, so I'll attempt to make us both professional. Now, you said pre-registration or just registration along the fence, just so everybody knows exactly, because I'm sure we have everybody interested right now. Give us exactly what they need to do, either through online or actually being there themselves for pre-registration or any online registration.
Yes, so you can register at www.cardinalsfootballcamps.com. And then there is also registration that is held at the Thornton's Academic Center of Excellence, which is between gates 3 and 5.
So will parking be an issue? You know, every time you have any events at Papa John's Stadium, first question we ask, will I be able to drive up, pull up? What area will you need to park if you're planning on attending the event?
So everyone will be able to park right outside the Academic Center of Excellence. So there's plenty of parking right there. It's the only event going on that day. So it should work out perfectly.
So how nervous is Coach Petrino with the event? Because, you know, whenever you're kind of dealing with things you're not usually doing, because it's not like you have 10 women's clinic camps a year. Is there any nervousness in the building at all, or any guys? you know, sometimes you get to see a different side of people when they do things they're a little uncomfortable doing or stepping a little out their element.
Yes, I think so. I haven't been able to do it yet because I've been traveling playing golf the last 2 years, but this will be my first year, so I'm so excited. But my mom and sister have done it the last 2 years, and they say you definitely see a different side of the coaches when they're coaching women instead of men.
No, I totally figured that. It's funny because we were having the debate before you came on. We were like, Kelsey or Katie? Because isn't she playing golf? You know, like we were sure that we had the wrong name, and to know it was you, imagine a room full of relieved guys, and it's like, okay, Rocco was right. You know, we're everything's comfortable. Okay, so let me just ask you a personal question, because you know we do the athlete thing just as much. Now, how has that adjustment been for being on the road in golf? You know, and to now being a structural or integral part of events that are University of Louisville football related.
Yeah, so it's definitely been an adjustment because I was going week to week from Alabama to Florida. So now I'm just kind of here in Louisville, and I've become a big part of the Petrino Family Foundation. So it's been so much fun to be involved here. But it's definitely an adjustment coming off the professional sports life.
No, it's funny. The number one question I was always asked was, do you miss it? And I always tried to explain to people, this is the first time I've not had something to do on a Saturday. Absolutely not. I don't miss it. You know, of course you miss maybe the rush, but there's another 90% of your time you're saying, I've never woke up and not had anything to do that was sports related. Are you going through the same thing?
That is so true. Yes. Cause I was spending 6-7 hours practicing every day, and then the traveling time as well. So now when I go out to play golf, I just, you know, relax a little bit more and take it all in.
But, now when you say relax a little more, is it really a little more, or do you have dreams of a Michael Jordan-esque comeback to the golf world?
Well, you never know. You never know what can happen since you can play golf the rest of your life.
Yes. No, listen, Katie, I appreciate your time. I appreciate it. Again, give out the sign-ups, the online registration one last time before I get you out of here.
Yes, it is www.cardinalsfootballcamps.com, and it's the Louisville Women's Clinic.
Well, thank you, Katie. Katie Petrino, thank you for joining us, the Women's Clinic. We will be talking about it. We will be pushing it as much as humanly possible. Maybe I can get you on here again next week or something so we can talk a little more just general sports.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. People, that was Katie Petrino bringing you the Women's Clinic football event again Saturday, June 3rd. She gave you we will be repodcasting today's show, so you will be able to find out exactly. I hate that I couldn't just repeat it. That was a little less professional of me. I was taking notes. I missed that particular part. Sorry, Katie. But you get the point. Go to ESPNLouisville.com. Go to the tab Middays with Marcus Maben. You can find all the details of the Women's Clinic and attend. You can make it a well attended event and see these facilities. Right now, we are staring at exactly what the tour will be, and it makes you proud every time you drive by, every time you look over there. Again, I have a throwback Thursday version, Bozak Smith in the booth, and he can't concentrate because he's admiring so much that is University of Louisville expansion. Bo?
It's really a beautiful campus, isn't it?
It is. It and I can see what you're thinking, and I didn't want to ask you, but I'm going to ask you.
What's that?
Aren't you so jealous that you didn't have this level? Goodness. What was this area, Bo, when you were here? Or had you even bothered to come down this far on the end of campus?
Oh, we took this street all the time, and it was an old train yard, actually, what it was.
Yes.
It wasn't nothing but a big field.
But it was just a street to get to something different, something more important.
That's right.
Right. You know, but Bo, oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that was me. I do that every single time. But Bo, listen. Before Steve stepped out, I said we're going to have a chance to kind of tie up some loose ends and make this a general throwback Thursday evening. Now, let's just do this. Let's have a little fun. We kind of, you and I get together and we had these conversations about the differences in coaching styles. That's probably one of our favorite ha-ha subjects to talk about. We talk about the high post, and we talk about what irritated us, and we ask this question more than anything in the world. How has Coach Petrino not benched that guy for life? right? And it's funny we have that conversation because our memories of Coach Crum, if you ask Coach Crum, he thinks he was a complete softy on all of us, right? But the way we remember it, when we see someone get blown by in basketball,
yeah,
when somebody dribbles past the guard and they get a layup, we all say the same thing. Well, he's done for the game. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you think so.
Right, right. And if it happens twice, it's like, yeah, he's done for the month.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So just give me some of your comparison thoughts when you're watching. We actually talked about this, you know, kind of picking at the Michigan game. Most memorable game. How do you compare the way Coach Crum would have coached that? And I know this is a tough question. It's an uncomfortable question. How do you compare what Coach Crum would have coached in that Michigan game to what Coach Pitino, how he coached it?
Well,
maybe, man, I should stay more general than particular.
Say,
yeah.
You really won't put me on the spot.
No,
there.
Yeah, only because.
But I will tell you this.
I didn't rewind the topic.
I will tell you this. It's kind of a little bit of a funny story. I can remember Coach Crum calling at a timeout saying, look, we read the scouting report. You know that kid's going to shoot the three feet behind that 3-point line.
Right.
So you need to get out there and guard him. Well, if he didn't get out there and guard him and he hit another three down the court, oh, you were sitting next to him. I mean, if it's in the first half,
next
you might.
You would have got to sit next to him.
Well, not me.
I
would
have
been on
the
bench. Yeah,
the end of the bench, right.
But you know what I'm saying. He expected things. He didn't expect you to be a better athlete, but to make good decisions. Hey, you know this kid shoots from, you know, 35 feet out. You've got to pick him up at 33 feet.
Right.
You know.
No, and it's funny because – you know, the question I asked was kind of comparative, but we both say the same thing. How long, like, hasn't Coach Pitino grown on you? Or you talked about how much he's grown on you, and we all had to transition of, damn, he's a really good coach. He's, you know, he's really doing his thing.
I think he's matured since he's been here. Right. And that's good. And that's what you want your coach to do. You want your coach to grow with the times and the programs and the way of the game's changed, and I think he's done a good job at doing it.
So what about recruiting? Now we had this conversation. I sent you a text message about a question I knew I was going to have to ask you because regardless of if you want to admit it when you're in your humble mood or not, anybody who knows, Bozak Smith was a top dog recruit when he came. And instead of getting into the recruiting part of the conversation, Bozak Smith, the coach, or Bozak Smith, the fan of Louisville basketball, does he want five-star player and deal with the adjustments that is five-star attitude? Or would you prefer less impressive records with two, three, you know, let's say 3-4-star?
I think besides the stars, I mean, that's just a rough estimate of how somebody's going to perform in college or how you think they will, their chances to succeed are. I think it's more into the person that they are, what type of player they are. Me personally.
So you're going to be Coach Bozak right now?
Yeah, I'm going to be Coach Bozak. But me personally, I'd much rather have a 4-star followed up with a great bunch of role-playing 3 and 2 stars.
Really?
Someone that's going to go in there and do the dirty
work. Even with your job on the line?
Yeah, because I just think the flow of the game is so much better when there are
you live
fewer
with four women,
major
Bo.
Stars.
Are four women going to say, hey, Dad,
they're all 5 stars in my house.
No. I think you need to start recruiting some more 5 stars, Dad. Like, this little joke you're doing with the 2 and 3 stars and the hard workers, that sounds cute. Because, you know, you have to admit, Bozak, the coach, you know, wants to make his job fun as well as, you know, win.
Yeah, he wants to win.
But there's pressure.
Yeah, but just because you got 5-star players. Now, let's think if you get 2 or 3 5-star players. Sometimes they just don't play well together at all. There's not enough shots to go around. There's a little animosity there,
okay,
too.
Okay, so what do you think about that? A 5-star is not enough shots. Your job as the coach is to make that work.
Yeah, make it work, but you may disappoint a few of them 5-stars. You're going to disappoint somebody. Where if all you got to do is worry about keeping 1 5-star happy, followed up by some good players.
So who did you recognize when you came into the University of Louisville? Who did you recognize that you didn't think was that good growing up, and they just kind of like took off, you know?
Antoine Walker.
Really?
Yeah, I watched him in high school because he was an Illinois boy. And, you know, he dribbled all the way up to his hip.
You mean just a high, general high dribble?
General high dribble. He wasn't the fastest man. He couldn't jump very well. And I thought, well, man, this kid's not going to be very well at Kentucky.
Really?
Now, when he's at Kentucky, I thought, well, he's not going to be able to do that in the pros.
So did you think?
So that tells you how much I know.
Did you think he was a product of the system? Because I love taking, you know, going backtracking your perspective on other players and, you know, like, yeah. You know, where you can hit and miss. So when you saw Antoine Walker, you watched him at Kentucky, you thought if he played anywhere else, he wouldn't be anything.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I mean, I thought he was a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I didn't think
he was high school good.
I didn't think he was going to be able to spend 10 years in the NBA.
Right. So he's your number one.
I would have to say growing up, yeah. For one, he's an Illinois boy, so I got to watch him play in high school. We played against each other in some of the AAU things. And I always thought, how's he do this?
He was guarding you.
No, he was running the point. Sometimes he would have to guard me, but they'd put someone else normally.
Wait, was that your humble way of saying he needed help?
No. Antoine didn't need help. He was a hell of a player.
Right.
Even back then in high school. It was just maybe because he was kind of looked awkward. Being 6'8", 6'9", and handling the ball like he did.
Is there a player today that you can kind of compare that to? Okay, let's just say, think about the Louisville team. Which guy do you think has the awkward look, but in a big, because you know you got Ray Spalding, who you think he has it, but you're not sure.
He showed flashes.
Yeah, you had a Jalen Johnson. He's not here, but you can add him into the conversation. Just, you know, as far as guys with,
I'm interested upside. To see what Jalen Johnson.
No, see.
Yeah, yeah. You, I'm interested.
No. You were telling the truth. Oh, you're waiting to see what he's doing forward.
Yeah, for future.
Yeah, right. So Jalen Johnson, Ray Spalding, Anas Mahmood. You know, how do you feel about those big men, and who do you think that the real talent lies with?
Spalding, I'll be honest with you.
What does he need?
He needs not to worry about anything. Go out there and play basketball as hard as he can.
You think it's 100% just psychological with him?
That's opposed to basketball, I think, too, a lot of things. I think he has high expectations on himself, so if he doesn't meet them, he's a little bit harder on himself. Instead of just going out there and playing the game, relaxing, doing the best that you can do.
So is he?
Because he's got all the athletic skills.
He's the guy you're going to be most like. Do you think Louisville's kind of their season and their arc kind of goes with him, or is it the guards, the VJ Kings, the Dangadels? Like, you know, where do you sit as far as
In Rick Pitino's system? I believe it's the guards. I think that's going to determine
Quinn Snyder, Darius Perry.
Yeah, I think that's going to determine the success of Louisville basketball.
Now, are you even allowed to attempt to do that? Because you had DeJuan Wee for all 4 of your years, didn't you?
Yes, I did. What a blessing.
I was going to say, how much of a luxury was that game in, game out? Knew you weren't you didn't worry about getting full court pressed. You didn't worry about turnovers. What was your concerns when DeJuan Wee's a 4-year point guard for you?
Oh, it was great. I'll tell you a quick DeJuan.
You mean that too? Yeah, hey. Yeah. You're looking up in the air and you're kind of smiling. People, if you're not listening to Midday with Marcus, my man Bozak Smith, I asked him about DeJuan Wee being his point guard, and I wish it was on Maven TV or maybe 939 TV. He's smiling, lit right on up.
Oh, DeJuan's a special guy. I'm gonna tell you a quick story. We were playing Georgia Tech one time, and at halftime, you know, Coach Crum was a stats guy. He'd go through the stats real quick, and he'd say, Paul, he said, you're supposed to have more assists than turnovers. I probably had 0 assists and 3 turnovers at halftime.
Right.
So we come out of half, and one of the very first plays, you run a high post offense, and DeJuan Wee makes a back cut. Man, I throw him a great pass. It's perfect.
Bounce pass.
Nobody's around him, and he misses a layup.
So that was your assist?
Yeah. So I run back to Coach, how do you get an assist when you can't even make layups on this team?
Live in the game.
It was DeJuan Wee.
And he didn't hear it.
Oh, DeJuan came down. He just looked at me and just shook his head. He knew I was mad.
Did he give you the my bad?
My bad.
The saw my bad?
Well, my bad, Smitty. My bad.
Is that what he went with, Smitty?
Oh, yeah.
No. So I was going to say, and when you talk about the high post, is that missing in college basketball today?
You know, there's some versions of it. I think a high post is a pretty good offense.
Would you run it, Coach Bozak Smith?
Would I run it? Yes, I think I would run it, to be honest with you.
Familiarity, or you just can?
No, I think there's a lot of good avenues out of the high post.
Okay, well, how do you get your 3-point shots out of it? I mean, we obviously have a couple of plays that can get you a 3-pointer.
Yeah,
but you think you could get consistent 3-point attempts out of a high post offense?
You had a couple of plays, but there are a lot of plays out of the high post offense I think you'd get some threes out of. I mean, you got to think you got two big men that can come down and double post on, double pick on someone popping out for a three.
How many times did you have the ball in your career and purposely couldn't find anybody to pass it to so you could take that three-pointer?
Me? One time. I'm one for one.
You are one for one?
100%, baby. You got to quit while you're ahead.
You shot a three-pointer. Was it a shot clock three-pointer?
Well, that's debatable. If you want to hear that story.
No, I do. Of course I do. It's Snowback Thursday.
Well, you know how sometimes a crowd counts it down 5 or 6 seconds?
Oh, yeah.
So I shot it with about 5 seconds on the clock.
So you gave Coach that look like
I didn't give him no look. It went in. I thought I ain't never shooting another one.
And it was a crowd roaring.
Wasn't here.
Oh, no.
Wasn't here.
Did you ever get that shoot it, that Louisville fan? You know, because you get the ball and you're just kind of looking for somebody to pass it to, and everybody's trying to.
There's a couple of drunks in the crowd that didn't know what they were screaming.
And you never did it?
No. That wasn't my game.
Okay. Well, listen, you came in a top recruit. At what point did you start saying that that's not my game? Because, you know, you come in highly touted, and it was some good players on this team.
When you're surrounded by the talent and you're a little bit, you know, you're a step slower than everybody else.
Let me get one more topic in here, just in discussion. We talked a little bit about Jalen Johnson. You know, he got the citation that was later dropped. People were not sure if that led to the fact that, you know, him deciding to pursue his professional career.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you something. You were here when Jason Osborne, was academically ineligible and then decided, you know, to go. Now, you always want to make the disclaimer that you know this conversation is not the same in 2017. Right. He's gone. He didn't play a couple minutes and he's gone. You know, like that's a
gig.
Yeah. During your time, when you heard Jason Osborne was, did you know as a part of the team, did you know that he was thinking about going? Had you heard the buzzes? What was life like around? And I'm just using him as the best example for guy who doesn't play, but has the potential to pursue a career.
Honest opinion about Jason Osborne is he could have gone pro before his freshman year of college. He should have gone after his freshman year of college. He was a great basketball player.
And his freshman year, he just played the second semester. Did he play both semesters?
His first year he played both semesters. Of his second year he played, I think, first maybe. I can't remember.
You say Jason just going straight to camp out of freshman year. I mean, but did it work like that back then?
It didn't. I mean, that was
like, would that have been seen as a renegade move had he announced that he was gonna?
Oh, obviously, yeah, for sure.
Would they have taken it more seriously before, you know, he was academically ineligible? And how much did that hurt?
Oh, that hurt a tremendous amount. I mean,
it the fact that he didn't play or the impression that he was academically ineligible? Because again, none of that stuff matters nowadays, really, as long as you can, you know, show people how good you are, which is, you know.
Well, from a business standpoint, you want someone that could handle the responsibilities and take care of business.
That factor went into him not getting paid? Their concern for his ability to.
You're about to invest millions into somebody. Don't you want a return on your money that you know they're not going to simply mess it up?
Do you really care if they mess up their money?
Well, yeah. I mean, because here's the thing is they're paying.
And it's a hypothetical.
Yeah, this is all hypothetical. Yeah. But they're paying someone, let's just say, $5 million a year. Well, they're expecting to make $10 million off that $5 million they're giving you. So it's a business.
If I'm going to be businessman, wouldn't you almost hope he blows his money just so he'd come back in here more motivated to get longer deals? Because, you know, they always say this guy or that guy was on their free agent year, so they're hyper-motivated.
No, well, if you're motivated by money, I don't think your success on the basketball court is going to improve much if you lose your money. I think the opposite will happen.
You don't think desperation picks up? I mean, this is a you know, a two-sided coin.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, basketball may motivate you to work harder maybe. I don't know, but I just don't think – that most of the people in the NBA are motivated by the money to better themselves.
Right. Okay? I always say that. That's one of the most over use stereotypes is that people are motivated by money.
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, speaking of money, I'm glad I got you back in here. One of your quotes that I used, like a quote from The Art of War, is when you and I had the discussion about giving a kid $5,000, and you had the one example that had never been used in local radio. You said, "Yes, they will blow $5,000 on stupid stuff, but how else are they going to learn how to budget an amount like $5,000 unless you give it to them to blow. You thought that that was the greatest idea. I mean, I thought when you said it, it was the greatest idea. Now, let's say they're talking about giving them $10,000 now. Are you still willing to give a kid $10,000 to unleash on the economy that is the city of Louisville?
Yeah, I am. I really am, believe it or not.
So you haven't come off that stance one bit?
No, not at all. I mean, we see these universities making millions. I think these athletes, you know, it's hard for them to get a job already and also stay eligible. And you know, how do you make an income? Your job here is to be a basketball player,
first. Is that more sympathetic towards the athlete or sympathetic to the amount of money they're not getting?
I think it's more sympathetic to be an athlete because you do have to sacrifice so much.
You mean just as far as how much you practice and play a day, you know? So you're 100% on board with whatever the amount of money they give them. They feel like, you know, they should be stipend.
Yeah, I do. No. And here's the next thing. It kind of evens the playing field just a little bit on factors of cheating. You know, if a kid knows he's going to get $1,000 a month, you know, that's enough for most 18, 19-year-olds.
You think he's less likely
to put himself in risky positions.
An agency.
Hanging out with the wrong guy that slips him a few hundred bucks.
Why don't you go into being an agent?
Who, me?
Yeah, financial advisor.
You got to go to law school for that.
Oh, man, stop it, Bo. You are one of those guys who can obviously do whatever you want. You held down 2 hours of Midday with Marcus Maben, and I can see the disappointment because you felt like this show is ending way too fast.
Oh, it did.
Bozak.
Thanks, Marcus.
Commit to being a regular, please. Right now.
You don't pay enough.
Oh, you absolutely right about that. When I get paid more, you get paid more. Listeners get more. Everybody gets more. Midday with Marcus Maben. As always, 8150-93.9 is the number. As always, it's 93.9.